Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You found the killer beat. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
4-6-3-1, I think Texans losing this one makes me think the schedule will probably have them losing a few more games than I thought. I think they win the division still, but they got to beat a good team before I'm ready to think they're ready for winning in the playoffs. I'm not changing my Texans win prediction. I had them at 10-7. I also had them at 2-1 through three games. I have them at 3-2 through five games. I'm not changing my prediction. Are you changing your prediction off of 10 wins?
I'm sticking right where I'm at.
And 10 or 9?
Nine. I had 9.
And I thought you counted them and you got to 10.
No, but I mean, I've got to stick with what I put on film, right? I put the videotape and said 9. So I have to stick with it.
Which film, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, we did film that segment and you counted up to 10.
Oh, okay.
So you had 9 or 10?
I'll say 10. I'll say 10 for the sake of I hope it's 10. And I still believe in this team. It's just, I, you guys know this, and Brian hates it more than anybody, but the schedule still concerns me deeply.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had them started the season undefeated going to Lambeau.
Yeah. I think there's some winnable games there. Are you changing your prediction? Because you had them with, what, 15 wins, Brian?
No, I think 16. So they're right on track. It's fine. They only lost the season. No, I had them at 11, and I, too, had them 2-1 through the first three, so I'm not changing off of that.
I thought you took it to 12 after they looked good.
No, I think we did that name the tune thing, and I said 12.
Oh, actually, no, Joel's right. I had a cash or trash it. I think it was last week where I said they would get to 12 and win the division by six games. And thanks to Will Levis and Trevor Lawrence, the sixth game, well, Anthony Richardson. And also, the sixth game still feels really good to me. I'm not backing
off
that at all.
Good on you, Brian. Tape don't lie.
All right.
We had tape on both of us.
Yep.
I just had two takes.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter after this loss saying that the Super Bowl contender talk needs to stop, that we can't say the Texans are a Super Bowl contender. Are we deleting the Texans from contendership of the Super Bowl based on this loss?
I'm not because I still love the roster. I still think there's a boatload of talent on this roster. I just think that, you know, in every season a little rain's going to fall and you're going to have a hiccup and you can't judge a team, you know, on one bad week. Now, you know, the next couple of weeks are going to be real telling in terms of can they recover? Can they get rid of all the penalties? Can they improve the continuity of the offensive line? Can they do the kind of things defensively that they need to do like they did against what we thought were good teams that maybe weren't so good? And can they do the things from an offensive perspective to kind of make sure that no matter what kind of defense you're facing, you can still be effective? I believe there's too much talent on this team not to think that they're not still an upper echelon team in this league that could be a Super Bowl contender. But I do think that this is a critical couple of weeks here to figure out where we go from this hiccup.
I just don't think many Super Bowl winning teams lose by 27 points. Like the text you're saying, it's the way that they lost. I went and looked this up. It has been done. It's been done 8 times, actually. There's been a Super Bowl champion that has lost by 27 points or more 8 times. Most recently, the 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 14 Patriots, the 12 Ravens actually lost to the Texans 43-13, went on to win the Super Bowl. 06 Colts, 03 Patriots, 94 Niners, 79 Steelers, 76 Raiders. So it's been done. It is possible. It just hasn't been done very often. Now, none of those teams lost by 27 or more again. It only happened once. No Super Bowl champion has ever lost by 27 or more points twice in a season. So I'm not ruling the Texans out from Super Bowl contendership yet. If they lose by 27 points again, see ya, goodbye, season's over, at least from a Super Bowl contendership conversation. I think a lot of times, though, we get lost in just one single game. And I think that what you were saying is what matters the most. Losing a game in week 3 by 27 or 7 really doesn't matter. It is the way you lose it, but it's also how you correct those things going forward. The way the Texans are playing right now on the offensive line, they are incapable of winning a Super Bowl. It will not happen. They will be an early exit if they get to the playoffs. So that must be cleaned up. If they clean that up, I think their offense has a really good chance to be really good. But right now, it seems like they have a long way to go. So let's see how it gets coached up. Let's see if there's production there going forward. Like Titus Howard deleted his Twitter today. Okay, let's get serious, Titus Howard. Let's make that offensive line good. Can you stop having 18 penalties in a game? And that's really for the entire team. And then the defensive side, I actually like some of what I saw defensively. They're one of the best in the league at getting to the quarterback. The pressure statistics and analytics are very, very high. The coverage numbers aren't great, so it's kind of like, hey, D'Amico. And I don't think it's a talent thing there either, because I like Stingley, I like Lasseter, so it's maybe more of a D'Amico Ryans thing. So I don't care so much that they lost by 27. To me, it's more, okay, these are the areas that you're currently really bad at, and I think the offensive line is the biggest among them. They look dreadful offensively. They don't look like they're anywhere near a playoff team from the offensive line perspective. So it's how you clean that stuff up going forward. I still think they have the potential to be a very good football team. I don't think they are today. But we're not grading them how they are on September 24th. We're grading them how they are in week 17 and then going into the playoffs. They have a long way to go. I won't rule out that they can get there.
That's why if you're going to do one of these hiccups, it's better to have it in the first couple weeks of the season than when it starts to be at a critical time and now you're like in complete panic mode. But at the same time, I don't call for anybody's job, but I expect everybody to do their job. And that means no matter how you've been coaching up prior to this, and whether that means from an offensive line perspective and you just think you can figure it out yourself, or you consult with the guys like Bobby Slowick and also like your defensive side defensive coaches to figure out, hey, when he was showing me this, and I got to work on that. I don't care how it gets done, but it's not just the penalties, it's the coverage. And you said, you know, even from the all 22, it was more glaring. It's figuring out how to not make those mistakes again.
Yeah, 713-780 ESPN. It is. It's like you're graded based on who you are at the end of the year, not who you are in week three. Now, if the Texans are still playing the way that they're currently playing, they're going to have some serious issues at specific areas. 1117, they got their butts beat by Cleveland bad last year, then came back and beat their butt in the playoffs. That loss doesn't mean crap. They corrected some areas that needed to be corrected. Can they do it again this year? But then they also got beat badly by Baltimore the following week in the second half. 0979, if the Texans lose this week, the hate is going to get real, but they'll be okay. Yeah, if they lose at home in Jacksonville and lose back-to-back games, it will get pretty ugly. Well,
especially because how bad Jacksonville looked last night.
Yeah, you hand them their first win. 5155, it's not one bad week. It's one terrible week and two meh weeks. They couldn't put away Chicago or Indy. I'll agree with that. They were meh against Chicago or Indy. They showed signs of doing things that really good teams can do, but they didn't play consistently like that for 60 minutes. There's been more meh for the Texans so far this year than there's been good. I'll agree with that.
There's also been the big plays were there. They didn't completely execute them. We talked about the fact that there were drop passes and opportunities that the fumble inside. But that's what you got to clean up too. It's everybody's got to do better, and you've got to be more clean with the way you play the game, because these little mistakes are compounding themselves into being big reasons why you look so bad on film and when you play games against decent teams.
2585, did you not notice CJ holding the ball a little longer than he usually does in that last game? I did. I just said it a few minutes ago. 3066, told y'all the Vikings were beating that, but they are the Super Bowl contender, not the Texans. Cash or trash, Vikings are Super Bowl contenders.
Trash it.
Yeah. I think they're playoff
trash.
I think they right now, as much as I didn't think that they were when we were making our predictions and looking at them preseason, like unless the glass slipper falls off of Sam Darnold, they got weapons on both sides of the ball. They got great coaching, and they'll be in the mix for a playoff spot.
They're adding to the offense, too. Like Addison hasn't played in the last two weeks.
Right.
He's legit. And then TJ Hawkinson's coming back this year and is one of the better tight ends in football. So, like, their weapons are pretty dang good.
It's just, you know, we heard DJ Bienemé say at every point in his career, there's a point where Sam Darnold reverts back to being Sam Darnold of old.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, there's a ton of talent on that roster and great coaching.
Yeah, I think they're a playoff team. A Super Bowl contender, I can't call them that. Now, NFC doesn't have elite quarterback play.
They don't have elite team play right now. Jeremy, you think about how bad San Francisco's been, and Philadelphia looks bad too.
Yeah. So maybe they are a Super Bowl contender. 8341, maybe all the Super Bowl talk has gotten in their head and they need to realize that to get to the Super Bowl, they have to go out and perform every game, every quarter, every possession, offense and defense, and that gets them to the Super Bowl. I would agree with that. It's more one, like, be where your feet are one day at a time.
But I also think I go back to the whole adjustments, whether it's in-game, in the middle of a game, in the first quarter, second quarter, or at halftime, come out of the gates in the second half, noticeably making adjustments. We talked about just capitalize on the plays that are there. Just try and build one drive doing something differently from the schematic things you're doing offensive line, but more so the plays that you're executing to show that you realized what they were doing to you and showing you, and you can adjust.
8789, can we please get rid of Slowik? I don't think Slowik's the issue. There's some things I'd rather Slowik do a little bit more. Like quick game, I'd like to see that a little bit more. But I don't look at that offense and I'm like, oh, Bobby Slowik's doing a terrible job. In fact, there were some things he did where I was like, that's pretty good stuff. I think the offensive line is ruining everything for the offense right now, quite frankly. Like, it's not like, and can Slowik draw some stuff up that's better? I guess, but he's running 12 personnel. He's pass protecting with seven guys sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's taking him away from his full allotment because he can't trust his offensive line. If I'm pointing to offensive issues, Bobby Slowik's not the first, second, third, or fourth thing I'm looking at. It all starts on that offensive line.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't worry about Bobby Slowik. If anything, I think that, you know, he and CJ are on the right page. It's just a matter of being a little bit more cognizant of the fact that what I was just talking about. When you play a dynamic defensive play caller with weapons on the defensive side of the football, you have to be willing to adjust and do some things that otherwise maybe you weren't even game planning for that week.
Yep.
And you can still be effective because you have too much talent.
6'4", the offensive line, though, is playing so bad.
The line is where I thought they had more talent than maybe they do. I believe in the receivers and the skill position players. The line really has me concerned.
I hesitate to say talent, though, because I think they're talented. I think it's production, and they're having a really tough time pass protecting for whatever reason. I think it's mostly communication, but I'm worried about Chris Strouser. Like, all of you starting Bobby Slowik, I'm saying Chris Strouser. 6403, Houston fans have always been the quickest to get on and the quickest to get off the bandwagon. You're probably right there. 6302, do you think Sam Darnold told CJ Stroud post game that he can't hold on to the ball like that and can't take those hits? Well played.
That's pretty good.
I like that. That is funny.
Yeah.
All right, 713-780-3776. Let's give out some game balls. Who's getting game balls based on their Week 3 performance? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure, at PRP treatments. Look, he also does spa treatments, Botox, plastic surgery. He is a jack of all trades, and he does them all better than just about anyone. But at the same time, the one that I have personal experience is the PRP treatments and the NeoGraft procedure. He's the best. He got my hair back. If you have hair loss, you have thinning hair, you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you're fearful of going bald, and you think your only resort is going to be either a toupee or the sprays and the creams and the foams that just mask the problem, I'm here to tell you there's another solution, and that is Doc Linville. All you got to do, if you don't believe me, is get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. You listen to us, you want to talk to him, you don't pay a thing. No commitment on the dotted line, no money out of pocket, just you talking to them, they explaining to you what they can do, and you thinking about whether you might want to try it. I did both. I did the PRP treatments after I did the NeoGraft. The results, phenomenal. I got my hair back. My 8 head went back to a 4 head. I got my hair back, and I owe it all to Doc and his staff. You can get the information on how you can do the same. And essentially, in Lawn Talk, you can make the same kind of correlation. If you just need it, you have hair there, it's thinner than it was previously, but you can still see it, and you know that it's there on your head. The PRP treatments is like fertilizing your lawn to make it thicker, stronger, and longer, and you don't need to go all the way to the NeoGraft procedure. If your hair's already gone, you've got bald spots, and Doc will be the one to tell you, then the NeoGraft procedure is a game changer. It's essentially like re-sodding your lawn, taking hair from where you're never going to lose it, and I found out from Doc, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter where you lose it otherwise, and it doesn't come back. So he takes some of that, puts it where you need it most, in my case up front. Sometimes it's the bald spot up on top and back, but it gets you the results of your hair back. You see the follicles immediately when you get out of the procedure. And as the next 6 to 9 months go by, that hair is going to grow, get stronger, longer, establish the roots, not go anywhere, be with you for the rest of your life, and give you your hair back. Better coverage, better look, with that more self-confidence. It's a game-changing experience. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Who are you giving game balls to after their Week 3 performance? 713-780-3776. Lakers, who's your first game ball go to?
Let's give it to the NA. Let's give it to the guy that's not blonde or brunette. Let's give it to Andy Dalton and the fact that he did what I don't think anybody thought could be done. And that was get the Carolina Panthers a solid victory and not make any mistakes in the process.
The fact that he threw for over 300 yards, he got multiple touchdowns, he didn't turn the ball over, and he made Canales look like he could execute the offense, I give him my first game back.
You know who the biggest testament that game was to, though? Bryce Young. That game was a bigger testament to Bryce Young than anybody on planet Earth.
You're talking about the testament that he can't play.
Yeah. Like if Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, if the Red Rocket is doing that, 319 yards, Bats. Three touchdowns, he's making the Panthers' offense look good. You know what that tells me about Bryce Young? That he's a bum.
That's the most telling. You're right. That is the most telling sign. If it wasn't the new coach that's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer for smaller guys saying I'm done, then it is this.
My first game ball goes to the dark-headed Sam Darnold, 17 for 28, only threw 171 yards, but four dark-haired touchdowns for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold gets a Bradham game ball.
My first game ball is going to go out to Malik Nabers. Had a huge game. Best rookie wide receiver right now. Obviously, Marvin Harrison had the huge week two game, but Malik Nabers has outplayed him so far. And he helped the Giants beat the Browns, and I always enjoy with Deshaun Watson. Looks awful, loses a football game. So shout out to Malik Nabers and the New York football Giants.
That was a bad loss for Cleveland.
No, it really
you
was.
You lose at home?
Yeah. Who saw that
to the Giants?
And like, what, was it like a 6.5-point favorite, I think they were?
That's a bad loss. Does Malik Nabers save Brian Daboll's job?
He's really good, man. He might. He's making Vanilla Vic look competent now the last couple weeks.
I think if you're the Mara family and you realize, hey, with a different quarterback, Daboll can coach offense. And you got a weapon now, that at least another weapon that he can go to, and you're going to have draft picks. I think he saves his job.
Does he save Brian, or does he save Daniel Jones' job?
No.
No, he gone.
I don't know.
No.
Daniel Jones looks competent.
Was it ESPN or somebody did the comparison that if Daniel Jones came out as the number one pick with the hype that Trevor Lawrence had, they are almost mirror images of each other in their career over the last couple of years.
Sheesh.
That's bad news for Trevor Lawrence.
Ain't great. Yeah, great.
My second one goes to Derrick Henry.
Malik Nabers, by the way, dark hair.
Derrick Henry.
Breaking news.
I mean, dark ran hair, all Henry. Over the team that everybody had kind of penciled in as the team that was going to go get Derrick Henry. And Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys now are eating crow. And Jerry's saying, I guess it's on me. But Derrick Henry just ran roughshod over the Dallas defense. We talk about the Texans making mistakes and having coaching issues and continuity. And where the hell was that? They were constantly outmatched on the defensive line. They couldn't stop the run. And Derrick Henry was doing his thing, stiff-arming people and bulldozing more and just running roughshod.
You remember who said he was washed after week one?
Are you looking at me?
Oh, you said it.
I said he was a bad fit for the Ravens offense. I'll eat that L.
I don't remember that.
I think you said wash.
Did I say
wash? I'm pretty sure you did.
He's a 30-year-old running back. Odds were in my favor.
Pretty sure you did. Not Derrick Henry. He spends $250,000 on his body and has dark hair. 25,
he doesn't eat a meal till 4 or 5 o'clock at night
every
day?
He says occasionally he'll eat an avocado or a banana
before practice. And then he doesn't eat until one meal for dinner.
He's a big guy, too.
I think there's this type of diet has a name. I think it's like the Titan diet or something like that. Funny, if it is the Titan.
Yeah, it would be apropos for him.
I don't know if it's tight. But it's,
boys, it's tightened up. But it's kind
of
like...
maybe a Viking diet where you eat all of your calories in one sitting. You feast. You eat like 2,500 calories in one sitting.
It's kind of like when we...
there's a name for it.
What was it? We were talking about it a couple, like 6-8 months ago, about the fasting where you do the power fast.
Yeah, intermittent
fasting. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Weird diet. I wouldn't want to do it. Malik Willis gets a game ball. I'm surprised Blankers didn't say that.
Oh, it's on
that.
My list.
Malik Willis, dark hair, beats his former team, by the way. 275 total yards, 2 touchdowns. Here's my hot take. If I'm the Packers, they're like, Stetch. I would not play Jordan Love until I lost a game. And this isn't because I'm playing the hot hand Malik Willis. It has nothing to do with playing the hot hand here. It's buying as much time for Jordan Love to get 100%. Because I don't want to put Jordan Love back when he's 90%. And he does more damage to the knee, and then you lose him for the year. So this isn't my Malik Willis is on a heater, play him. This is because I want to make sure Jordan Love gets right, and you can afford to keep riding Malik Willis because he's 2-0. Once you lose a game, then make the change.
I trash it only because this week, if it wasn't a divisional game, that they might consider doing that.
Are you going to hurt? Gernard's going to ruin his life.
It's Minnesota, and it's at home, and I think they're going to play him this week.
You would sit Love this week?
I would sit Love this week. Yeah, I mean, because they pulled out two surprise wins that no one had them winning, they can afford to wait an extra week or two. They're not out of it, which we all thought they would be by this point. My next one is going to go to the light-haired Bo Nix, who went into Tampa Bay. Did throw a touchdown pass, but was very efficient passing the football. Picked up around 50 yards rushing and ran in a touchdown for probably the biggest surprise of the weekend, going in and knocking off the undefeated Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's true. But Carolina and the Giants, we had a couple of – we've already had most of the
upsets. No, Carolina
was
way up there. But Andy Dalton's obviously a tenured quarterback. And Bo Nix had done nothing, and the Broncos have looked awful.
You know the leading rusher for the Broncos was that game?
His name is pronounced – oh, gosh, it's – I know who you're talking about. Tell me.
Is it pronounced funny?
It's pronounced.
Because it reads Batty.
It's not Batty. It's Bidet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We all thought, like, because his name's come up in the fantasy community. We all thought it was Batty, but apparently he's told everyone it's pronounced Bidet.
Tyler, the Baytown Bidet.
Does that mean it's the Baytown Bidet?
Yes. Yes, it does.
How does he lead the Broncos in rushing? That was weird. All right, next game, ball blankers.
Saquon, 147 yards and two touchdowns. I actually had two Eagles with as shaky as that game was. But your tight end goes for 170, Dallas Goedert, and Saquon gets you 147 and two touchdowns. Those are pretty good weapons
to have. That Dallas Goedert performance is out of nowhere.
Yeah, I had Goddard getting my game ball with Saquon as an honorable mention. But both were huge.
No doubt.
Both were huge. It was a big win for the Eagles. That was a good game.
Yeah, it really was.
Scoring.
Yep, I was surprised.
Not if you had the over like I did.
No.
The over was over very quickly.
Saints had chances. I mean, Jalen Hurts doesn't look great right now, but and then you've got there was a lot of dirty plays in that game. You saw that with Smith when he went down, and his helmet came off, and the guy speared him and then spit on him. They said I thought New Orleans had plenty of opportunity.
That was Peyton Turner go Cougs.
Oh, really? Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Our beloved Cougs.
I don't think he was actually. I think he was just stuff came out of his mouth. I don't think he actually spat on him.
It wasn't a close-up enough to verify it, but multiple people were talking about it.
You say that with a smirk. I have no idea. I mean, it definitely looked that way. I'm not going to lie.
Dirty Cougs, man.
Not going to lie. Hey, I like violence. Josh Allen, dark hair, over 300 total yards, four touchdowns. Josh Allen looks good. Buffalo Bills look good.
Josh Allen could have had eight touchdowns if he wanted it.
James Cook dropped an easy touchdown.
He could have eight touchdowns. If they wanted to, the thing about it, the Bills are putting up huge stats. They really haven't had to play in the second half yet.
And they found a way to kind of control his turnovers by just keeping him within the framework of the offense. He's the leading candidate for MVP right now.
Yeah, he literally is. Yeah, no joke. My next game ball will go out to, I'm trying to find a light-haired guy on my list, but I can't find one, damn it. Terry McLaurin. I know the game balls probably should go to Jaden Daniels. He was great, but Terry McLaurin, someone who I've rooted to actually have a quarterback for a long time, and you could tell just how happy he was in the postgame afterwards. Like, I finally have a freaking quarterback. And, of course, he has the touchdown to put the game away, where Jaden Daniels apparently saw zero and decides, you know what, I'm going to throw it up to my dude Terry, and Terry came down with it.
What's the stat where they only haven't punted in two games?
They haven't punted in two games.
Yep.
No turnover. Yeah, it's no turnovers, no punts for two games.
Something like 15 possessions or something like that, but it's ridiculous.
Remember the Texans interviewed Cliff Kingsbury as their OC.
That's right. Cliff, he's there.
They interviewed him. I would have given Daniels the game ball there. Dark hair, 293.
So
three
is Terry.
Touchdowns.
Dark hair.
I had Kyron Williams.
All right, one more round.
I had Kyron Williams. 89 yards rushing and two touchdowns, 27 receiving yards and another touchdown, three touches and 100-plus yards of total offense. Rams get the win against the Niners. That was a debacle of an ending, but kudos to him and the Rams.
Dark hair. Jonathan Taylor, 23, 110, 2. This is how the Colts have to win games. You see the Anthony Richardson interception?
You're bad.
Oh my gosh.
Did he have three of them?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The one in the end zone was the one that was abysmal.
Yeah,
I didn't think he got up to three.
I think he had two or three. Was it three the week before in Green Bay and two this week?
And he was like 10 for 20.
Yes.
You have to run the ball. You have to run. No, he didn't throw any. He threw two interceptions. Three the week before.
Yeah,
he was 10 for 20, two interceptions. The one in the end zone was awful.
Yep.
Awful. You have to feed Jonathan Taylor if you want to win games in Indy. Have to. All right. Was it my game? Oh, it was your final one.
Is it on me? I'm going to give it out. This is to a combo of players, or maybe the coaching staff, but the way the Detroit Lions established the run and gave Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery all the work they could handle, combined for 39 carries for 188 yards. They didn't even have to score in the second half against the Cardinals because they controlled that game so well. I love to see Dan Campbell establish the run there in Detroit.
Yeah. David Montgomery was a beast in that one. So was Gibbs. That was another good game. That was a low-scoring game.
Yeah,
shout out to the under.
13, I think.
Yeah, I had the under on that one.
There you go.
I think Arizona sees that again. I think there's a game. There's a game plan in the mix
there's
now.
There's a game plan to run in Arizona for sure. They also don't have any pass rushers. That defense is not very good.
But Arizona and Indy the rest of the season, until otherwise proven different, are going to see a force feeding of running.
Yeah. 6302 game ball to Brandon Aubrey, baby. That guy's a freak. 65-yard field goal, and they did it with like 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Like, you only see that kick attempted late in the half. First half, second half, game winner, when the other team's not going to get the ball. They had the audacity to try a 65-yard field goal in just the middle of the first quarter, and he drilled it. That was stupid.
That 1 yard away from the all-time record.
Yeah, Tucker's got it at 66.
When do
I think
you
that
even
record
see
goes
that?
Down this year.
When do you see a 65-yarder attempted in the middle of the first quarter?
Well, you don't. You nailed it.
How the Cowboys,
at the end of a half.
I don't know if you guys remember week one. They ended up chickening out of it. Shout out to Mike McCarthy for that one. But they almost attempted a 70-yarder at the end of the half against Cleveland. I want to see Aubrey try it. I think he can make it.
Brandon Aubrey is to kickers as to Steph Curry is to three-point shooting.
I like it.
I think before his career's over, I think he holds the all-time record for longest field goal.
3-2-4-3, Will Levis, Branham can't talk. I hope you didn't like Bryce Young, because Will Levis is better than Bryce Young. If you like Bryce Young, you can't come at me. 5798, Jawan Jennings should get a game ball. I don't give game balls to losers, so that's why I didn't give Jawan
Huge
Jennings
game, though.
A game ball.
Yeah, same
three
thing,
touchdowns.
Same thing with me. That's the same way when
it's
you
like
look
173,
at
170 and
three. Yeah, tournaments and otherwise, with the exception of Jerry West one time, you don't give the game balls or the MVPs to losers.
Yeah, good game, but a loser doesn't get a game ball. 0979 game ball to Justin Fields. Steelers are rolling, man. I didn't see that coming. Their defense is really good. And Fields is doing a good job. Good
and
enough.
They know how to use them, right? They're Arthur Smith, for as much as this was who he was in Atlanta, and he got criticized for it, but he's utilizing his run game, and he's getting the most out of Justin Fields.
Yeah, these skill players fit what he likes to do a little bit more than he did in Atlanta.
Justin Fields is the perfect Arthur Smith quarterback.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's perfect,
I'm sure George Pickens doesn't like the Arthur Smith offense a whole lot, but working.
Neither
it's
do
winning.
His fantasy managers.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, those are our game balls. Let's get to our week three overreactions. What are you overreacting to now that week three is over in the NFL? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you all about Stella Rosa Wines. They have just a ton of different flavors that will go with just about anything you're serving. And especially now when we're in season and we're talking about having people over to watch games, college football, pro football, baseball playoffs around the corner, and you want people to come over, as important as it is to serve the right foods, and we know you got the chips and the dips, the pizza and the wings and all the finger foods, you're also going to want to get all the options in terms of the beverages that you serve. Sure, the beer and the hard liquor are great, but sometimes you want to pace yourself and you want something that's refreshing, that's really going to hit the palate well, that people are going to enjoy. And that's why I recommend Stella Rosa Wines. You serve them chilled. There's a variety of different flavor profiles, and they all are going to go great with whatever food you're serving. And you don't have to worry about pacing yourself, because they're going to do that for you. You can enjoy them throughout the day. You're not going to have too much, and you're going to just love the crisp quality taste that you get out of Stella Rosa Wines. They're fantastic, and they're available at your local retailers, your liquor stores, your grocery stores, and you can pick up a couple of bottles, serve them chilled, and your people that you're coming over, your guests, are going to love them. You should check them out today the next time you go to your local retailer and grab a couple bottles for your next viewing party. People are going to love them. You're going to be the hero for bringing them, and you're going to understand that you can really spice up your party in a variety of ways, but you can really improve it with Stella Rosa Wines. And always, celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
What are your week three overreactions? 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blankers?
Overreaction to me is the first one that I brought up for Cash and Trash It. I just think that there's too much overreaction to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're still a really good football team. I like more of what I saw against Kansas City in the fact that they looked like that they were in control of that game. I think they should just shut their mouths more and play better football than run their mouths before games and then get shown up. But I think with Chase and Burrow and the fact that they have a lot of talent on that team, I believe they're going to make the playoffs. I believe they're going to make a run. And I believe that all these people that are writing him off for dead may be speaking a little too soon.
Yeah, I just don't love their defense this year. Their running game with Moss and Brown, I think they took a huge drop off. Now, you know, we've kind of questioned Ja'Marr Chase. Chase was great yesterday, caught a couple of touchdowns. First time they had Higgins, too. And then that Andre Yosovia guy, like, that guy's going nuts, how good he's been. I just don't like their defense, though. And they're 0-3, too much. Like, I think they've dug their grave too deep.
It's possible. You think they miss Mixon now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that, though, like Shannon Sharp this morning was saying that Burrow needed to do more, that he wasn't good enough last night. He did everything he could possibly do last night. He didn't turn the ball over, threw 300-plus, was all over the field, and Chase was good, too. I'm not going to put the blame on Joe Burrow.
He needs his roots to come through, quite frankly. All right, I'm done. That's it. That's the last one.
I mean, they scored 26. I don't think they... If they had to punt, it wasn't very often. It wasn't like the Bengals' offense played poorly. You mentioned Ja'Marr Chase went off. I mean, you scored 26 at home. You would expect the defense to hold them under that and for you to get the win. So, yeah, I definitely would put that more on the defense than any offensive performance.
My week three overreaction, people are still telling me Trevor Lawrence is overrated. He's not even overrated anymore. Because how is Trevor Lawrence rated? Trevor Lawrence is rated as a guy who never lived up to the hype. He's rated as one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. If we're being honest with where Trevor Lawrence is rated by people who keep up with the NFL, he's no longer overrated. He's properly rated as a bottom third quarterback in the NFL. Now, is it, you know, overpaid? Absolutely, he's overpaid. Did he not live up to the hype? Absolutely didn't live up to the hype. But I can't say that he's no longer overrated. I think he's rated properly because we've caught up to who Trevor Lawrence actually is.
No, I completely agree. I mean, you and I would get into this a year ago or so, and I just haven't ever been convinced enough to believe in him as being a guy that can be that guy. Do I love it because Jacksonville's in the division? They already gave him the monster contract. Now they got to live with it. Absolutely. But Trevor Lawrence, man, you got to be better, and I think the leash is going to get short here in a little bit. You got to figure it out quickly.
All right, what do you got, Brian? What's your overreaction?
I think the Cowboys are going to absolutely flame out here over the next few weeks. Just bad vibes. So they start off 1-2. Micah Parsons. So I kind of get the feeling Micah Parsons is going to talk his way out of town. The way he goes on his own podcast and other podcasts and trashes the team at times, I have a feeling if they start off really poorly, which I think they will, that they might decide to go ahead and move on. You look at their upcoming schedule. You're on the road. They're on the road the next two of the Giants, who obviously just played well against the Browns. The Steelers are 3-0 after that.
Say that with a straight face? They're going to, like, at New York is a daunting game. You're saying that with a straight face.
The Giants played better last week. That's all I'm saying. I would say if it was in Dallas, I would mark that up as a win of the Cowboys. The fact that it's on a short week on a Thursday in New York, I think that's a toss up game. But after that, I mean, even if you give them a win against the Giants, you got the Steelers on the road, Lions, 49ers at the Falcons, Eagles, Texans at the Commanders. It's a more difficult schedule for the Cowboys than we would have thought. I think they're going to flame out here, miss the playoffs, and you could see a guy like Micah Parsons get traded.
I think the one thing that you really got to focus on here is, just like we're talking about with the Texans, you can have a bad week, but the way that the bad week happened, the fact that there's a whole bunch of internal strife, a whole bunch of finger pointing, a whole bunch of people talking about guys not putting in the best effort, coaches need to do more, that thing could implode so quickly because McCarthy is not that guy that's going to be able to reel them all in and lead his men like that. I think the Cowboys could be in for a world of hurt the rest of the season.
They lost by 3 to Baltimore. I think y'all need to chill out a little bit.
Well, it's called overreaction.
Chill out. They lost by 3 to the Ravens, who are one of the better teams in the NFL.
After
yes, they're 0-2.
The Saints used them all, dragged them all over the field.
It's a better reaction for last week than they lost by quite a bit.
Yeah, they were getting strummed in this game, too.
But they pulled within 3. Like, I think that they'll be okay. Now, do they miss the playoffs? I think that's certainly in play. But I don't think the Cowboys are going to flame out and trade Micah Parsons.
I don't think they're trading Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I think.
I think they're going to.
I think they'll be competitive. And maybe not make the playoffs, but I think they'll be competitive throughout the year. Like they're a solid team. They're solid.
Talk about running game.
Ugh. Their running game is poor. I will give you that. Rico Dowdle, yeah, I think he'll come on and be okay.
If they let him
Zeke,
be.
Yeah, they need to let him be because he's got a better chance of being good than Zeke does at this stage of his career. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, what's your overreaction?
Overreaction Tuesday, despite what everybody's saying about Justin Tucker, kicker of the Ravens, 3 misses so far in 3 games. He missed one against the Cowboys. He's 0-for-2 from 50-plus. He used to be automatic. He is not overrated. He is not overrated, is what people are saying. He still has some left in the tank.
He's not washed, says Keith. Kicker kicker ticks on the Killer Bees.
Who'd thunk?
I don't think he's washed. I think he's had a bad start.
I don't even think it's arguable. I think he's the best place kicker in the history of the league.
But that doesn't mean that he has a good chance of making a kick this weekend.
I would bet on him.
Yeah, I don't think he's washed. I mean, everybody at some point in their career gets washed. I don't think Tucker's washed yet, even though he hasn't been his best.
Sometimes kickers have brain farts. We know how like emotional and mental the kicking game can be. He's just lucky enough he hasn't really had one of those spells yet, but he could be having one now.
Yeah, I would say Keith is right there. 9229, I don't think I'm overreacting. The Titans will have the number one overall pick in next year's draft, and I'm a Titans fan. They look bad. They look bad. Will Levis looks awful.
I think the surprising thing is the Patriots look better than we thought that they were going to look. But I think that Carolina and Tennessee are definitely in the conversation for worst team in the NFL.
The way Carolina looked, though.
Well, like, if Andy Dalton can do that for a couple of weeks.
I think they can win a few games.
Tennessee's defense is good enough that they should be able to win a couple of games, but Will Levis just makes a bunch of horrible decisions.
He does make some bad decisions. Brandon T, fans are overreacting to the Texans' loss last week. They'll be just fine in a playoff contender. Playoff contender, sure, because they're in a bad division, but I think that the areas of weakness for the Texans are worth your concern.
Yeah, I think that they basically, the way the season has started and with how bad the rest of the teams in the division, they're going to have to fight long and hard to lose the division. They're going to be a playoff team. But are they the kind of team that we look at and say can contend for far more than that? That remains to be seen because they got a lot to clean up.
5798, cash or trash. Parsons gets traded before the trade deadline. Trash in that one. Brian would cash it. He's all in on that. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. What's your nomination for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for Vanderford Air. Go to VanderfordAir.com. They do so much for you. They do air conditioning. They do hot water. They do dehumidifiers within your entire house. They take care of everything for you. But the greatest thing, and when you're dealing with service companies, is they back up everything they do. They put everything in writing. They have a money-back guarantee, 100% money-back guarantee on everything that they do. And the guarantees are all over just for you. That's what you want when you deal with any company that's providing services, because a lot of times they'll tell you, oh, we could do this, we could do that, we'll replace that part and fix this, and it'll be this cost. And then at the end of the job being done, the cost is a lot more than you expected. There was nothing in writing to solidify it. And there's a lot that you cannot get done or do once it gets to that point. That's why you deal with Vanderford Air, because they take care of everything for you. They put everything in writing. Say you have something wrong with your air conditioner. They'll write up a written estimate for you that will let you know what it will cost to repair and put in a new part. They'll also write up another estimate to tell you what it would cost to replace the entire unit. And it's in writing, and it's set in stone. That's what you go by. At the same time, the guarantees start from the time you call them. From the time you call them, they are going to let you know that within 24 hours of you calling them, they're going to be out to see you to do what you need to have done. Not waiting days on end, not being at the back end of a call list, hoping that in a week's time they can get to you. Nope. Within 24 hours of you reaching out to them, they'll be at your door to take care of what you need. And once they start taking care of what they need, everything is backed up. The work that their people are going to do to install the part or put in the entire new unit, to the fact that the temperature is going to be exactly what they said, the parts are going to work exactly the way they're supposed to be from the specs that are given from the company, and that you are going to be pleased with everything that they do start to finish, or your money back guaranteed. That's why you check them out. Check them out today. Put their number in your phone. Maybe you call them now because you know there's still a plenty of hot days here in the Houston area and you want to make sure that nothing's wrong with your AC, or save that number in case you need it if something does happen. 281-557-COOL gets you to Vanderford Air, and they'll take care of the guarantees. 281-557-COOL or VanderfordAir.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Soccer matters at the top of the hour with Glenn Davis. Dynamo playoff update after a win over Austin FC. European updates with some severe injuries for certain players that are going to affect things. They shouldn't be running hard to the byline. Plus Coco Correa, Houston Dynamo goal scorer interview. Soccer matters at 6, Hall of Fame. With Brad Gilmore. in that sucker Booker T.
The guy that would dominate
coming
a home
up
run
at 8
derby,
o'clock.
Booker T.
Wouldn't get it out of the infield. And then Space Cowboys over on 92.5 in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
AJ Blueball, the game one starter for the Sugar Land Spacers. This is Framber Valdez's music. Could be a big day in the organization. Could get a game one win in Sugar Land. Could clinch a division at Minute Maid. Framber 14-7, 2.85 ERA. Logan Gilbert, opposite of Framber, 8-11, 3.24 ERA. You nailed it yesterday with Hunter Brown, with the exception of one critical element.
I didn't answer that.
I think you did.
No, I said I hope they do.
We'll have to check the tape. I think you said it was good enough for a win.
I said 6-1. You said it was a good enough a win. I said I hope so.
I think you said
check
it was good enough for a win.
We'll
have to check the tape. We'll do that later. We'll do that in post. What does Framber do tonight?
He's going 7 innings of shutout baseball.
Is it good enough for the win?
Is it good enough for a win, Joel?
Hope so.
No.
Yes,
Friday.
They're winning tonight.
All right, there we go.
Get this thing behind.
That's a Joel Blake guarantee.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Guarantee.
I brand them foot and mouth that they're not going to win tonight, and I'm doing it for the city. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
8835 says that it's Coco Kataskia. Please, Jeremy. That's not what it says on my prompter. My teleprompter says differently. I only read what's on the prompter. I'm Charles Barkley, and I'm Ron Burgundy. I can only read what the prompter tells me. 8835. All right, what is your car wreck of the day, Blake?
It starts with the Astros bullpen last night. I mean, there's a variety of different ways. We could just say the Astros again because their offense wasn't great either. But the Astros bullpen was awful after you wasted an outstanding performance by Hunter Brown. A one-run game was quickly turned into a game that was out of reach.
Yeah, I give the offense more blame than the low-leverage guys in the bullpen, though. Like, Espada went to the low-leverage guys because they were trailing when Hunter Brown left the game.
But those low-leverage guys are supposed to keep it somewhat within reach.
They're not
very
good.
Exactly what they did.
I don't want to see any of these pitchers in the playoffs. And you probably won't in games that you're leading or are close. Like, you're not going to see Caleb Ferguson in a closer game that you're leading. You're not going to see Ord King in a game that you're leading or is close. And Seth Martinez got optioned down today.
Hey, you're not going to see Seth. Unfortunately, from where he used to be the last year and a half, Seth Martinez ain't going to be on this playoff roster.
Yeah. So, like, none of those guys, I think, are critical to the Astros playoffs. You might see them, but I don't think they'll be used in games that are within reach, quite frankly. I wanted to give it to the you see Dan Campbell was doxxed by his daughter's classmate?
Yeah.
Some dude on Snapchat.
That's how they found out where they lived?
Yeah. The daughter's classmate, a boy, he put it on Snapchat after they lost the game in the playoffs, posted the address.
Oh, I thought this was the new house.
No.
Yeah, that's BS.
It was announced that he was going to move, about a week ago.
Apparently that's old news.
But we found out the source now. Okay.
Yeah, he's already moved.
He moved
in the offseason. But the doxer was his daughter's classmate after he was mad at the Lions. Yeah, bad person.
And didn't he comment or something like, say, just kick the damn ball or do something that they should have done or
spike
the ball?
Said that he was mad that they went for it.
Yeah.
And then people were showing up to the Dan Campbell house that night. Dan Campbell wasn't there, obviously. But his daughter was, so it spooked him. Scared him a little bit.
That's not good.
Yeah, the doxer. You're the car wreck of the day. What do you got, Brian?
One, hay fever. Two, the Bengals defense. You can't give up no punts.
What was the first thing you said?
Hay fever. Because it's a legit thing up north.
Car wreck of the day goes out to hay fever still being the thing. The next one, though, has to be the Bengals defense. No punts, no turnovers at home against a rookie quarterback with Cliff Kingsbury as their coordinator. Not a great look for the Bengals defense.
What's wrong with Cliff?
Yeah, he's a bit unimaginative. He's a bit unimaginative.
What?
Trevor Lawrence has got to be on this list, too.
I know, it's worked, but that's part of it's on the Bengals defense. That's why they're car wreck of the day.
He threw an interception to a myth. Threw an interception to Dr. Death, who has killed the career of Trevor Lawrence and has killed the career of Tua Tagovailoa.
And Trevor Lawrence has to be on this list.
Yeah, put him on the list.
He was awful.
It's fine.
I'm adding him.
Throw him on the list.
You just made the list.
I think Doug Peterson probably could be on this list.
The Jags, period.
Now they're going to win this weekend.
Oh, God.
Also, I can only read what the teleprompter tells me. Sounds like something that Laramie Tunsil would say. Well, just call me Jeremy Tunsil.
By the way, Glenn came to your defense and says, his name is Coco, that's all.
Oh, so he doesn't go by his last name?
I guess not. So it's just Coco, so you're fine.
So who was the genesis of this this read?
Copy and paste from Glenn's text.
So Glenn was the genesis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't try to infer soccer matters. I just take it from, straight from Glenn.
There you go. There you go.
Coco be here. I just want to hear the interview.
I just read the teleprompter. All right, what's winning?
Astros again?
I was going to say Jags.
Lawrence?
Sure.
There you go. You guys broke the tie.
Dr. Death? Blonde-headed quarterbacks?
Blonde-headed quarterbacks. Yeah, okay.
So we're going Jags or Trevor Lawrence?
Jags.
Okay. Congratulations, Jacksonville. First win of the year. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian. He's blank on Brian. I'm Glenn Davis. Soccer Matters right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.